A dog can smell a lie, you know. Look around you and take a good whiff. They're all liars here, and every one better than you.
Welcome to 2C1C, the Game of Thrones podcast founded in 2010 by myself, Will Lentz, Greg Atkinson, and Brett Zeiler. Now hosted by myself, Daryl Lloyd, and Kyle Vansel, with guest appearances by past hosts and more. Many thanks to GRRM and FFG for making this possible, CarGameDB for our hosting, and Josh Woodward for the Creative Commons music you hear in this episode. Welcome to Season 4.5.
That's yep. The Hound to Sansa?
Yeah. Sure enough.
Liar, liar, face on fire.
That's pretty
great. I can't say I've heard that one.
It's quality. And, so, you know, speaking of quality, this is Two Champs and a Chump. Your quality podcast for Game of Thrones.
Hey, we should introduce ourselves.
Yes, yes we should. I'm Will, generally known as Kenan.
I'm Kyle. Konnichiwa, motherfuckers.
That is not what I say. I was like, Daryl, you're next. We have an order. I'm like, I've only been here a couple months, and I know the routine.
Well, I'm Aaron, and I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. Speaking of routines, though, and months, Kyle, I think you've been on for like 6 months now, dude.
Whatever.
A little more. Didn't you
this
join
year,
us in like December?
That's true. It was right after Worlds.
Maybe January? I don't know. Not too long afterward. I know you did a guest episode or two before we, you know, upgraded you.
Upgrade. True. This year has flown. I mean, I know that everyone says it every year, but for real, this one is just... It's like I blinked and now summer is here.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that's what happens when you're planning a wedding.
Yeah.
I planned a wedding in a month and a half. Eloping.
I think it's more so...
I'm not sure if that counts as eloping.
I definitely think the store tournaments is what's doing it for me. I mean, sure the wedding, but store tournaments.
Yeah, it kind of helps fill up part of what used to be kind of a dead time of the year. Thrones-wise, anyway.
We have a wonderful spoiler for our listeners.
For
the House of Greyjoy.
We do indeed. This is going to be from the next pack of this cycle. It's a Greyjoy warship. It's unique. It's two cost. It's Longship Ironwind. It's prized one and has a challenges ability, Kneel Longship Ironwind, to put a character with printing cost two or lower into play from your hand.
Greyjoy needed an ambush. They just weren't good enough.
Yeah. That's better than a Bloody Keep or Bloody Gate, whatever it's called.
Well, sort of. I mean, this isn't going to help you at all with, say, Balin Greyjoy at 4 cost.
No, but it can do some... Well, I think the big reason they printed it was... I don't think First Snow was supposed to hit Gran as hard as it did, and I think it seems like they want us to have Gran on the board at all times.
At all times.
Oh, you First Snowed him? Nah, he's right back.
Well, it also wouldn't be bad with Surprise Naval type of stuff, so...
Surprise Windermere. Like, they thought you would have nothing to attack back with, and you're like, oh, by the way, Windermere, save, kill.
Surprise Windy coming at you.
Surprise Wex Pike, who then gives you back a prize card.
There you go.
Yeah,
it's actually a pretty cool card.
A lot. And Great Wick, to use it twice in a phase.
Oh, man.
Throw down a couple of characters and have at.
It also does not say Greyjoy character.
Yeah.
Right.
All sorts of fun splashing.
That's pretty interesting as a whole right there.
Yeah, some two-cost stuff, you know. I might want to run Jaina Slint or...
Street Mage.
Yeah, go. That wouldn't be terrible.
Aegon.
Yeah.
Maybe your Maesters.
Yep, Maria or Old Nan with Maesters.
Yeah, I really like the idea of Maesters. Greyjoy Maesters is a good deck, so...
Yeah, Greyjoy Maesters is great. Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Pod.
Daryl said it.
What, the Greyjoy Maesters is a good deck?
Yep.
It's totally right. Never won Salak. I wouldn't mind House of Dreamsing it and seeing what I can come up with.
I think it's quite cool. And haven't we seen some stuff about that upcoming plot, The Aftermath? Doesn't it go off at the start of challenges?
It goes off at the end of Marshalling, so Shadows and such are still good. Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Well, this gives Greyjoy another option to get around it.
Especially because it has shit Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Longshot Iron to put stuff in, all the boats that become characters.
Yeah.
Well, Iron Wind won't let you put those in.
Oh, yeah.
No, but, like, you don't have to put those in, but that's just more reasons for an Aftermath out of Greyjoy.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Not that we're reviewing Aftermath, but it was a thought.
It's just more additional threat of activation. Because now you almost have to assume that there's a distinguished boatswain sitting in their hand at all times. It's just one more reason that the old way can put invisible pressure on you.
Oof. Yeah. Goodness.
Jesus.
Sorry,
some
I didn't mean to be the...
Some of these Greyjoy cards, man.
Yeah.
I feel like that's such a buzzkill right there.
Greyjoy's really getting some solid stuff, it looks like.
I'm really sick of river whining, but the old way is the biggest reason I want something to happen to rivers. Mm. An easy card advantage with that deck is just too much.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you don't have to dedicate card slots to it. You can just rely on your plots, so now everything just supports that theme. Everything is a warship or a dude that triggers off your warships.
Yeah, basically.
Well, anything else to say about Longship Iron Wind before we wrap that?
Yeah, fuck Greyjoy.
Wow.
I wouldn't say F Greyjoy by any means.
Wait,
but...
you won't curse?
I mean, I'm trying to clean it up a little bit here, okay?
Emphasis on little.
Little. Discuss?
Just a little. I'm saying just a little bit. I can't clean it up a little bit? Come on, guys. But what I will say is that I'm kind of sick of Greyjoy, personally. With all due respect to the house.
I'm just sick of one archetype.
Yeah, if you check out Because the Internet, Daryl swears a ton.
I do. That's why I'm trying to clean up just a little bit. I mean, fuck you guys.
He's going to get downgraded from a ton to a...
Well, I don't know an ass load.
English, what's under a ton, but...
An ass load.
Pound.
There you go. A half a ton?
There we go.
Anyways, moving on.
Emergency feck.
Yeah. We've got big exciting news, sort of. Actually, a very, very small change. A new emergency FAQ version 5.01 went up today. And interestingly enough, that emergency FAQ... while dated, doesn't have any change to the new card errata listing on the front page. It still says it's Bran, Axel Florent, Old Way, Marjorie, yada yada yada, which I find interesting. They were really in a rush to get this up there. The new update is an errata to the Princess Plans, fixed card number 74 from the Secrets of Old Town. It formerly had errata, but this replaces it, and now says, should have the text, dot, 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 after this effect resolves, remove the Prince's Plans from the game.
Nice.
Is the deck, for listeners that are unfamiliar with that, there may be a couple.
The deck was a giant combo built around Jojen Reed. It would deck itself and use Prince's Plans and Blessed by the Maiden to only keep three cards in the deck, keep standing Jojen using whatever tech. wasn't eroded, and then just name those three cards over and over until marshalling for about 30 minutes until Jojen got 15 power, which is super annoying. It won one tournament, but it also lost twice in Swiss, and it shut down by having another queen to shut off Missandei. It shut off by Song of Ice because it can't hold all the million cards. It shut off by Aegon's Hill because it doesn't run a ton of recursion. And it's very easily outrushed as long as it doesn't go off turn one.
See, here's my problem with infinite combos and Thrones is that FFG, to begin with, does not like infinite combos. They don't like infinite combos. So infinite combos are not a regular part of Thrones. So that when an infinite combo does arise and it kicks somebody's ass or a lot of people's asses, this is going to happen and people are going to be upset. I, for one, am okay with seeing it gone. I don't like infinite combos because infinite combos aren't a regular thing in Thrones. If it was a regular thing from the beginning of Thrones where, like, yes, there's infinite combos in this game, that's fine. But whenever there's only, like, one, it's a pain in the ass. And that I personally think, is something that's ridiculous to have to tech for anyways.
I mean, I like it in the sense that, let's say, once you decide that you were going to do something about it, I don't think there was a more surgical option out there. I mean, Nate says in the little blurb that he did not want to affect the meta in any way, shape, or form. And by making this change, the only thing you hit is this deck. I mean, other decks that were running as they're restricted
Bloodthirst
aren't necessarily as affected.
Oh, bullshit. Alex is
you can't do it in that way. You can't suddenly recurse them over and over and over again. But that has been part of the problem since the last FAQ.
Problem then Blessed by the Maiden? Because we had Prince's Plans forever, and it was never like, it was a good card, it was a great card, but it was never like game-breaking until Blessed by the Maiden added that extra element.
I would agree with that. It's a little bit like the Threat from the North shenanigans, that people kind of decided was a problem. We kept fixing the symptom card. Threat from the East. We keep fixing the symptom card rather than, the underlying issues.
I mean, if we just, I guess they can still add the limit three times for something, but if they don't want infinite combos to be a thing, they should probably stop printing cards that lend themselves to infinite combos so simply.
Well, yeah, see, that's the thing that bugs me just about the principle in general. Maybe this does turn out to just be too effective, too consistent in the end, but I don't feel like we've had enough time to really prove that. Maybe it's just me mellowing out in my old age. I used to be a bit more up in arms over that kind of thing, but, we've got so much information available now, and so many minds, cracking at the metagame. I feel like it should be allowed for more than one tournament, and then see if people are able to do anything about it once they know it exists. Comes out as a surprise, sure, nobody's prepared. That happens. It's like Bruno taking, Baratheon TLV to a regional last year. Nobody was prepared for that. They weren't teching against it. It blew them out of the water. But, as the regional season went on, people kind of became familiar with it.
Yeah. But as far as the errata goes, I mean, I think it's a situation you definitely have to readdress when regional season's over. But as far as what can hit the least number of things, I think the Prince's Plan was the more exclusive card. I mean, yeah, probably something needs to be looked at with Blessed by the Maiden, but if you hit it now, you affect numerous decks that run it, most of which in a healthy way.
That's true.
Just to get some stuff back, I mean, it's a decent card when used. I want to use the word healthily, but not in a situation like this. But I think the thought was, like I said, what's the one thing we can pinpoint that's going to have the smallest ripple effect through the meta? And I think hitting Prince's Plans was the way to do it. So I agree with the change. If you're going to make a change, I think this was the right change to make to band-aid the situation until it can be readdressed before Gen Con.
Well, speaking of readdressing in this situation, I mean, do you think that it really deserves to stay on the restricted list at this point, you know, when the next update comes around? I kind of feel like maybe it should drop back off now that it's a one-shot.
I would try. I would, if I was involved in that situation, it was my call, I would do a significant amount of playtesting with it in its new form to make sure that you can't just fall into the same, there isn't some way to get around it or another way to use it that can, I mean, how you would ever bring anything back from out of game state is beyond me.
But. I mean, there's no card that does it except for Cold Hands, and he only references cards removed with his own ability.
True.
Yeah, it's, there's nothing in the game that affects out of game state except Cold Hands.
And there probably won't be.
Well, not necessarily abusing it, but just if putting the piece in, if we get back to these no character, like Bloodthirst decks, and something that we were trying to stray away from. And bring characters in the challenge phase back to the forefront. And I would see just how viable taking it off the list would make it. I mean, I don't. My gut tells me no, it'd be fine, but it'd be that would be the one thing I would check.
Well, you know what makes it fine? Harrenhal.
So you say that.
If you're going to dedicate 4 influence to something and all I have to do is kill a Judd, or even kill a good character to get rid of that, that's really powerful.
That is true, but now you're running. But those decks, it's all about draw and running 3 ofs. I mean, the odds of them having their pieces before you catch your 1, maybe 2 Harrenhals is just vastly different.
Well, yeah, but that's the game they're playing. Back.
Like I said, I think it should come. It'll probably come off, but it's definitely there are some checks that need to be ran before just blindly looking at this and going, "Oh, it can't be recursed. Let's just drop it off." Not necessarily for the card's own strength, but kind of like. The situation with the Red Keep and some other cards where it's how they contribute to a bigger picture are the reason why they're on the list. So my gut tells me it probably comes off, or at least some part of that system comes off, but it will be, I think, a hard look should be had, because the last thing you want to do is do kind of like Pentashi, where it comes off and then goes back on.
Well, so. You know why I think it'll come off? Martell is going to need something back if they're about to lose, like, Arion and maybe the agenda itself. Because Arion still has to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that. This may be delving into a different discussion if we start really heading out there into Arion and Bloodthirst land.
It all remains linked. Very few cards are restricted in isolation. It's what else is.
Very true. And they do a good job. I think a lot of people are kind of happy with, outside of the prevalence of the rivers, that the list isn't terribly off from where it needs to be.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think their argument was just that a lot of houses have some kind of poor options as far as how to counter it, which I can see. Lannister doesn't have a ton that can deal with it. But Targ and Greyjoy, I think both are fine. A flame.
I mean, sometimes you just really accept that you have a bad matchup against something. Like, I think the game is going to be pretty boring if every house has solid answers to everything. That's pretty homogenous in my book.
No, I get that, but there are matchups where they're just nigh on unwinnable. And I think creating those situations and the threat of that in an infinite way. I mean, there are games I've sat down to and I just know I'm like, this is going to be rough if I even stand a chance at all. But you at least can compete and you can go out there and try. And then there are games, and this is kind of the territory you dive into with infinite combos, where they just simply are not winnable. And, I mean, just odds tell you that there's a 4% chance, if they fuck up, that you can win this. And that gets into dangerous waters for me. But yeah, like, there are these answers, and you try and work them in to be able to deal with it, but sometimes just they're not. They help you in that match, and maybe a silver bullet against this, but 9 times out of 10, they're horrible cards that are going to hurt you or not be playable. And so when you get these infinite combos and they set up situations where, okay, I'm running, what's a real time example I can use? Like Old Preston has seen a revival with all the rivers. And right. He is not really a good card.
Oh, I disagree.
Well, if you're the only one.
I mean,
how is he a bad card if you like Song of Ice?
He's not a good card.
I like Song. If you go into, you're the guy I like who plays Song of Ice because it's an agenda. I don't play Burn.
I play Burn.
Oh, he plays Burn. But he's rough for me because he hits both you and your opponent. And at least Song of Ice is an agenda you can count on. He's a character.
Yeah, but you don't have to trigger him. He's a response.
Yeah, I know you don't. So, but it's because there are a lot of matchups. If you're running adequate draw, and I tend to play intrigue-heavy decks where I don't want to trigger him. But if I'm playing Bloodthirst, I'm going to love it. And so he's a character that 7 times out of 10 is suboptimal. But against this one deck type, I feel is really good. So,
yeah, but if you run like new Aegon and you don't run into any attachments, you just ran a suboptimal card. It happens. Sometimes you just need answers. It's part of the game.
Yes.
You're arguing though, Kyle? Is that like some of these outrageous things that we're seeing are bringing back cards that we didn't see before, and how that's neat?
It's neat, and I like seeing a resurgence in cards. But I'm saying if you look at it from a Jamie standpoint, and that's where decks like this combo deck are going to be played, it creates a difficult situation because you are pigeonholing certain houses into these are the 3 cards you will have to run in case you run into it. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to sit dead in your hand or even hurt you.
Wait, no, that's not as a Jamie. As a Jamie, what I'm thinking about when I see this deck are, here are the counters. If for the next little bit, not necessarily Gen Con, but for the next couple tournaments, I need to make sure, even if it's not me, that like a couple of like the answers I mentioned earlier, like Song of Ice or HOD Aegon's Hill, which actually isn't bad, by the way,
right.
Or some Rush is being played. If I have to make sure that for the next couple tournaments, this is a living meta, that combo deck will go away. It will just disappear, and then you basically just have to watch out for someone running it out of nowhere, but it won't happen for at least a few months.
I mean, that's kind of the natural ebb and flow of how metagames work.
I see people's argument when they talk about, yes, there are answers, and they acknowledge them, but they're not ones that they feel are viable, that they hurt you more than they help you. Well, you can only be so good. Not everyone can be John Bruno and just take a pile of whatever and go win to California. Like, that's not... Again, if it can win turn one, if it does win turn one, that never mattered. Even if it gets to win turn two marshalling before challenges phase, it never mattered. And I'm saying, I don't necessarily agree with this, I'm just saying the counterpoint that this deck was so out there and so weird that there are some of the counters for certain houses, again, make you feel very pigeonholed.
Like, we don't know that it was going to win on turn one and none of these answers were going to work. It's a living meta, and the meta didn't get a chance to adapt and evolve.
Right. Like, people weren't prepared for it. I you know, recognize that happens. And it gets... Any deck that is a surprise like that gets a boost in matchups. I would like to have seen this played out for another few more weeks where tournaments were happening with folks expecting to see a couple of these floating around. If it still posts a surprisingly high win rate, then maybe I'd be worried.
I mean, my gut tells me it makes me really nervous, especially out of Martell, because they do have a lot of easy cancels, and if they are decking themselves, some of the things they're going to hold on to are those cancels. So, I mean, I was talking with Bruno, actually, about this, and he talks about how he felt before his first regional, really pressure to play Martell, because it's like you kind of have to play Martell or Greyjoy, because you have to be able to out-cancel all this cancel that's out there. Otherwise, they're just going to inhibit what little interrupt you have.
But Bruno already figured out the answer to that with the deck that just won this weekend, because Stark can do it too. I mean, I don't know if Lannister and Baratheon can, but Targ could certainly do it. Ambush is awfully illegal to cancel. Dragon Pit, all those characters that are now really weak, not as much of a threat.
again, with the pool being as big as it is, there are always going to be counters and good matchups, even against oddball stuff like this. But, I mean, like he's, I mean, if you look at the deck he ran, his Martell deck has three He Calls of Thinkings, Paper Shields, Hand's Judgment, Doran's Game, I mean, it's an by most standards, an obscene amount of cancel. But that's the kind of thing you have to be packing to counter some of these decks, because I haven't seen the list, but I'm sure you there's at least three He Calls of Thinkings in it, and just being out of Martell and being fragile. So let's say you do have a cancel out, well, it's most likely a response, so they're going to cancel that. So now you have to be packing two while he's decking himself and putting it back in his hand, and it's so early in the game, and even if you are doing the river shit, you're not really rocking it first turn. So I understand the concern here, is that it happens so fast that you have so very little time to react, so very little time to catch what cancels you do have, and if you sell out to it to be sure you're reliably getting them, this deck is the deck you're running is now suboptimal against other matchups, because you're drawing in a shit that you don't need, that you're running tons of cancel, which is great against that, but you don't have any characters.
Sure, but again, even in the tournament that it was a big surprise, it lost twice. If, let's say it lost once in Swiss, and through sheer luck, one of those other matchups happens after the cut.
I thought the one that did win only lost once, and it was to a mirror match.
No, it lost twice. He was on Beyond the Wall talking about it.
Okay.
And he said it's not unbeatable, it loses. It's just, if that loss happens after the cut instead of before the cut, you know?
Yes.
Like, everything's
but I
different.
Feel like that. I don't think everything is different. I mean, people's reaction probably is, but I think in a playtesting circle or in news that gets back to Nate, it most certainly raises as many red flags.
Oh, it doesn't. Things that don't win just don't raise that many flags. Braithian Hollow Hill was fantastic until it took Stalic, but no one took it seriously. Like, it wasn't getting restrictions or...
I think that's true with, like the hive mind, like the overall meta, we all sit around and talk. I think that's true. I think the shit that, like, Bruno sees and Greg talks about and Nate gets to, that's not true. It's not true at all. There are plenty of combos, and I've been in those conversations and talked to those guys that never see the light of day because they're found out and they're hit subtly in FAQs, or, like, they just are aware of them and make sure that things don't go the way they should for them. Like they're out there and they're aware. Like, they don't have to see tournament success for us to know that they did.
I guess, but this combo was three quarters put together at Gen Con last year. Remember that I know Will was there. Were you there last year, Kyle?
Yeah.
Remember the game with Dark Nodge that went like an hour and 45 minutes and everyone else was just sitting there super pissed?
Yes.
Because that guy had 90% of this combo and they didn't feel the need to do anything about it then. And they just printed more cards that made the combo better.
Yeah, I think I remember, were they trying to do it at the time with the Dane girls that provide influence and discredit themselves?
But they were orbent.
Yeah, because they came up to talk to me about it, because I remember they were former Magic players, and they were super excited about the All Things Shaga article, and I remember they came up to explain that combo to me and talk about it at Gen Con last year, and then they found out it didn't work. And they were talking about it afterwards. They're like, yeah, no problem. Give us another month. We'll figure out exactly what we need to do to fix it. Like, this is still going to happen.
Yep. And here we are a year later.
And now it's been snubbed out.
Yep. Well, maybe. The combo will go off without Prince's plans. It just is less consistent.
To the point that I don't think anyone's going to be running it at any major tournaments.
Until someone breaks it, man. Like, sooner or later, if someone breaks it, it comes right back.
I don't know. Remove from game makes for pretty absolute save.
Yeah, but you don't need Prince's plans to make it work.
I guess.
Maybe we should just limit Jojen.
Exactly. Maybe we should have that three
times
nobody
wants to have this conversation. I mean, I've thought for a long time we should limit the number of times characters that kneel to do their effect should all just... I mean, so many have been eroded to three times per phase or three times per round or whatever. It just kind of sort of seems to make sense, but...
It gets rid of all of
these... You know, Everybody's... I feel like it's like 70-30 or 60-40. A lot of people don't like that idea, but I just feel like we would mitigate a lot of future issues with errata and broken characters and combos. But I realize that the events are at the heart of this issue, but obviously...
Not always.
Right.
Like, they weren't for the Brand one, they weren't for the...
Killer
Shadow,
the Wounded.
Shadow Bob, Killer of the Wounded.
Oh, Dirty Girl? Aw, oh, yeah. That was awesome.
It's the standing and kneeling for too much.
Yeah, so I'm not sure why. I mean, I've talked to Brett, and he was just like, well, why, if I can stand Corset Renly four times, shouldn't I be able to? Why should I be punished about this? I'm just like, it has nothing to do with punishment. That very few times will you ever be wishing that you could stand Corset Renly four times. I'm sure there's a scenario somewhere. I'm just saying, it just seems like we would keep a lot of issues just on the back burner of just every card. Because, I mean, there's already plenty of cards printed now with a limit. Like, why not just everything just be printed with a limit? It's not like some kind of unknown rule or something, some type of hidden rule in the rule book. It's just printed that way.
And then just grandfather in things that have limit three times per phase on them.
All right, what's up next on the menu, Will?
Yep, I think that pretty well draws us to a close on even more than we were originally planning on touching on. But that sends us to our next topic this week.
All right, what's up next on the menu, Will?
Yep, I think that pretty well draws us to a close on even more than we were originally planning on touching on. But that sends us to our next topic this week. We're going to tumble back into the arena and slay another mountain. This time, I think we're going to take a look at Marathion. Yes, I know a bunch of people call it Martathion, but I find that to sound silly. So I'm cutting out that extra extraneous T. So this is the Martell Marathion. Now Conquest Rush deck using a bunch of the high-powered lords and solid cards here. So what do we do here, guys?
Well, let's go over what the deck does a little bit first. It uses all the Braithian Renown guys, preferably the ones who stand themselves, the ones who claim extra power like Melisandre and Fat Bob. It uses Viper, it uses Sir Aris, anything that has renown, and then it uses all the Martell draw, like House Messenger, like Flea Bottom Scavenger, and then it sticks power on your house by popping Breathian Seas and Seeds of Power. And then in a turn or two, using Art of Seduction right away, almost always, it steals that power, locks you out of Valar, and wins during challenges turn two.
Which is pretty rad. You know, before we get into slaying it, I do just want to say the because it was tried previously as a treaty or alliance deck, but the advancement of being able to conquest it and put power on their house to steal through the use of your own self-discarding locations is pretty awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You've turned the downside to your agenda into just another tool for you to win. It is ingenious.
Agreed.
And I like it.
The deck is an A-plus deck. It's one of the top five decks in the meta.
Well, and the thing is, you get all that cheap, easy control. Ben Terpstra's been played it at Chicago up here, and between running Orphans as his restricted, and he calls it thinking, he's got just enough protection to steamroll whatever little you can put in his way, and it's just unbearable. He still gets Ariane because it's out of Martell, so second turn, he can either use her to flip into to the Spears after he wins a Nish, or he was running those, I don't know their name, the Bera guys where you can trigger them and you become first player.
Knights of the Storm. It's a very different version.
But yeah, I think he only has like one or two in there, but he stuck them in. He's like just to try and seal the turn two win, but no, it's pretty rough.
A lot of the versions, especially the European ones, are running Fear as like an alternate opener to Art if they're worried that you're going to if they're worried you're going to Art their Art, or as like if they have board position, you have decent board position you probably aren't going to Velar, they can fear and keep control of the game.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Another decent tool.
Yeah. I mean, they hopefully can. I think the early game plots are definitely a point where you want to attack him, and one in particular that I think is pretty fitting, though it's very house limited, is Cersei's scheme. I've definitely been having that issue a lot down here, or that scenario rather, where Art of Seduction's been quite popular with some of our newer guys. And what do they keep pinning when we're playing? They keep pinning me on Cersei's scheme. That is not the plot you want to be pinned on, especially for a deck, you know, like that. You're winning the initiative with Cersei's scheme. You're kneeling out their stuff, so they're not getting those challenges. Even if they've opened with the Fear of Winter first, you're still beating them on the initiative. You're going first, locking them down before they're able to put that claim to use.
So, but a lot of what good players have been doing, good players will open almost always with Art pre-cut or Fear pre-cut, and then get everyone used to that. And then the counter to that is generally if packed, and with Rivers it might not be Forgotten Plans. So once you know opponents have Forgotten Plans or might play Forgotten Plans, you instead flip whatever when revealed you want to counter that.
Yeah. I played some games.
If they're going to flip Dry Season or Burning Bridges or Fortified Position or whatever, you can flip your Forgotten Plans.
Yeah, that was the game tonight. The nice thing is that me and Ben both knew each other's plot decks, so there was a lot of cat and mouse, because I'm running Fear as my restricted, and so he's like, do I drop the Art here? Do I have Forgotten Plans? And it's like, well, when do I spend mine? And the plot game becomes super important. I guess my first suggestion on how to deal with this is make sure you have at least one static effect plot that works to your advantage. Like, I would drop Shadows and Spiders. So I'm like, even if he doesn't Art of Seduction it, it's a good staller, I'm okay with this. But have one status, at least one static effect plot that you don't moan getting pinned for two turns.
Because
blowing it on a when revealed is not going to help you turn two, and you're just going to, that one effect is not going to be potent enough to keep you going. So have a static effect that you can get pinned.
Here's a nice quick list for stuff like that. Fear of Winter, Dry Season, Burning Bridges, Fortified Position, your own Art of Seduction, and Forgotten
Desolate Passage.
Desolate Passage. Eh.
I think Passage is fantastic against a rush deck.
I think
unless they popped Fear.
Yeah. Yeah, if they popped Fear, then I guess that's what's up. I don't know. I mean, it depends on your board state, I guess, but yeah.
Dry Season is my personal favorite. They can't play crap.
Yeah, Shadows and Spiders. Game of Thrones is another one I wouldn't mind.
Cersei's.
Intrigue heavy decks, yeah, so have a lot of really nice ones. What else?
Besides plots, you can always any kind of plot cycling, like Arianne's great, but so are the I can't think of them. Lose Dominance, Pay a Gold, Flip a New Plot.
Veil Rookeries.
Veil Rookeries are fantastic at slowing that down. Mm-hmm. If you have giant balls, Bleeds is a really good idea.
One thing to note, Bran will not bail you out. Art of Seduction hits anything in the plot phase window.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that the hard way.
Law will not help you either.
So just play Martell plot cycling with Rivers. Just do that.
You can also play Greyjoy. If you're running Greyjoy Winter, run a couple Mirimir. At the gates, if you run like enough Ravens and Mirimir, you'll see one of the two turn one, and then you at the gates or time for Ravens for the other, and then you just cancel all their reducers. And if they can't get their reducers off, they're very tameable.
That can help. You know, and speaking of Greyjoy, if we're delving out of plot answers right now, I've been seeing House of Dreams with the new LIV lately, and that seems like a strong option to slow them down in the early game.
That tech is now known as the LIV2.
Ah, okay.
Just because we name everything, apparently.
Hey,
the LIV2.
I'm fine with names. That's not the most exciting name. I feel like we could have come up with something more colorful, but LIV2 works, and you know, it knocks off even somebody as protected as the Viper, and that can really set a rush deck back.
So the big thing really for to beat this deck, it's a very hard counter to Rivers unless the Rivers were also plot cycling with Ariane or Veil Rookery. So if you're running Rivers, you're probably going to be in trouble because they should be able to just bum rush you before your Rivers really do anything. But if you're running like a real plot deck and you're running actual powerful plots, then you should be able to slow this, assuming you're good enough to pick the right plots.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Wildlings is really good against this.
High strength, I can see that. Especially out of Stark, if they can throw... I always mix up which location it is now to stand on defense.
Jeez.
Frozen Outpost.
There we go. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, Wildlings, yeah, but right now is not such a great time for Wildlings.
Wildlings aren't bad out of Stark with Rivers. Not bad at all.
I mean, everything's better with Rivers. Still doesn't mean it's good.
It won a couple of store championships in the UK.
I'm very surprised.
And I think Lainey Wildlings just took third in Paris.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah.
But I believe I was checking that out on Agar cards. But I do a lot of checking out, so sometimes I see it, sometimes I'm just hallucinating titles.
Well,
but I do like that. Props to... Super early props to those people who put how they did and what tournament they were at with their deck to help validate it. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that is a really good idea. Makes me pay more attention to the deck.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, or you hear people talk about Buzz, like this combo deck. Everyone's like talking about this deck that just did super well, and you can just go and look through the list and like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what about Buzz?
No. Yeah, well, I mean, he does it too, but you know, they talk about decks, and you can just scan and go, oh, here's the winner, boom, click it, and there's the deck. As opposed to, if it was just a, like, Jojen combo, it's, okay, that I probably picked. But just, like, combo deck, Europe, like, I wouldn't have seen it. Or if it had some clever name, like, I don't know, some influence to piss you off, and you're like, I don't, this would have scanned. So that's nice. For what it's worth.
So, Segura wants us to bitch more about Rivers.
Yeah, I think we've probably done enough of that for this episode, which has gone a bit.
Tell him he does enough for this episode.
Yeah,
I just tell him to shut the fuck up whenever he starts. Now, then he yells at me for being a glazed donut. It's wonderful.
I'm like, his position is well stated on several forums.
So, anything else then about the? Martell Baratheon build.
It's a good reason not to run Rivers. If you are going that route out of Martell, I think your best answer is to Ariane into a Valor. Some kind of stall card is really good. Even just like a one-up and aggressively mulligan such dig for it. But normally you can trip them up to get out of their ish so that you can Valor, I guess, what is going to be plot 3 or 4, like life can be okay.
Stark in general tend to be pretty good against this deck. Like, Mira makes life difficult. A lot of little things in Stark. Yeah. Hodor is a pain in the ass. Like, there's Frozen Outpost is, stated.
Everyone's favorite nightmares, now that you mentioned Mira. Just blinking of any of those renowned guys.
Brienne, no quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or, potentially, routing the charge. I've been seeing that popping up again. And, you forget that whole bit where they cannot be saved.
Yeah. The
counterattack is fairly nasty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is. You think it's worth running the Aria that steals renown?
Nah. I mean, you have to run influence, which is the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I would sell out. If you can weather the storm for the first 2 turns and usually get to your plot 3 you obviously have done enough to slow him down. Life should be kind of okay. I mean, I sold out. I counterplotted his to the Spears. Like, I will give
that's
you the free
hilarious.
Shot. This crap out
wow.
of here.
Wow. That's, playing, I mean, that's crazy, but kind of
I don't know who
maybe
I was playing
kind of worth it.
The other day, but yeah, I was playing a much different deck than I'm going to end up running, but I was just trying to see if Counterplot would be worth it in the current environment with rivers and stuff.
You know,
and know what? Boop, I'll do it.
Speaking of that, even counterplotting the T1 play, be that Art of Seduction or Fear of Winter or something else, might very well be worth it too.
Giving that deck three power is awfully scary.
It's yeah. awfully scary, but if you keep him off of the Artist Seduction so that you can actually hit him with the Valor, that
runs
might be
power,
worth it.
Runs Power, Blood, and Bodyguards, too. Be careful with it. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying be careful. Like, know your opponent. Yeah. Know how good they are. Know what they're ready for.
Right.
It was a ballsy move, but I was like, this is kind of my shot. And I was curious to see if it would work, just if the card could have the high impact that giving the opponent three power warrants. I mean, I squeaked it out.
Okay. An Octagon, try everything.
Yeah.
True. It's a great lab. No consequence.
Mm-hmm.
Right, this conversation is definitely a million miles from where it started.
Yeah.
So, just a final
I think
thought.
That's good.
I don't want to actually encourage people to not play this too much, because if your meta is overwhelmed with rivers and you're sick of it, start playing this and watch rivers start to disappear.
It's hot. I like that Rush has become a viable build, and several Rush versions have become viable builds in the current meta. It's been a long
Absolutely.
Time since. Like, it's always been control and aggro, and Rush has had very little space at the table, and to see at least a couple builds coming to the forefront is encouraging.
Four right now, right?
Five. Yeah.
That Baron Knights one, Siege is still good. Power Behind the Throne.
Yeah. Siege is rocking. I think Tommy went undefeated at Chicago with it. I mean, just steamrolled the competition.
Yeah, I heard a little bit about that.
I haven't seen Siege in a while. I think he played at the store tournament as well and made it to the finals and ran into Greyjoy Uber Save, which is kind of its like ultimate nemesis. But
nah, I can roll Greyjoy. I just can't roll other Stark.
Bad. I mean, this deck was all about, and I think he flopped just a ton of saves, and if you can't kill the stuff in its way, it's a little rough. So, but no, so yeah, seeing Siege is back. A lot of the Rush agendas are doing decently
work.
Well. So yeah, I think this is just another deck that the meta is nowhere near as stale and unhealthy as some of our compatriots claim it to be. So yeah, suck it, compatriots.
Suck it, compatriots. Almost shirt worthy, I think.
Alright, Slaying the Mountain? Sorry, that was Slaying the Mountain.
That was indeed.
The Painted Table?
Painted Table. I think we could let the guys with tourney reports go first here. I think at least Aaron's been itching to tell us more about New York. I don't know if Kyle's itching to tell us about Chicago, but he may have some insight regardless.
So, Kyle, want to go first?
Sure. I don't have a lot to say because my mother taught me that if you don't have anything nice to say, say nothing at all. So the lesson I learned in Chicago is you should not let shit rattle you, because once rattled, life gets a lot more difficult at a tournament.
See,
so
that's interesting.
So do that. What do you mean that's interesting?
I really would have sworn the lesson is always count your opponent's power.
I was going to say, that's the second one, is always count their power. Never assume that they took the time to count out 15 power tokens, that they very well may have dropped 16 onto the table. And so when there's two sitting next to their house, They are one away, not two away. And that letting unopposed power challenges go through just because they don't matter and you can win regardless is a bad strategy.
You
horrible,
Daryl.
Yeah.
Horrible strategy. In all fairness, his counters were in a jumbled cardboard pile on his house card that was very hard to see and even more difficult to count. But yes, I took a shortcut and assumed that the nice orderly piles that started next to his house card were three piles of five. That was not true. So yeah. So any Bruno's Martell deck. I had nothing really good built and tried a bunch of things the night before at Tommy's, and I just didn't like how any of it was flowing with what was hot at the time. So I was like, something about seeing how many plots I can cycle as fast as I can seems fun. So that's what I took.
That's what happens to dirty net deckers.
Yep. You hear that, Thrones community? He's as bad as Will.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
I might even be worse. But so after that, I think I actually won my second game. And then third game was against the mirror match. And I lost it, and I just gave up. I mean, the rest of the day, I think I played my fourth game. I stuck it out, and I won it. So I was 2-2 going into the last round. I was like, maybe I can make a cut. And then I went up to K-Tom, and with this Chicago hat, there was a field, I think, 32, and there were 8 or 9 store championship buys there. I mean, it seemed like a naturally high number. But anywho, because of that, I mean, unless you're 4-1, there was no way you were going to party in the top 8. So I went to my last game. We just kind of shot the breeze. He was playing Bloodthirst. So I was like, well, this is going to be unfun for either of us. So let's just kind of sit here and doodle around. And it was the sloppiest game ever. I think I let him have it. He had a Viper
generous
last turn. Like, well, we got to like a bunch of plots and everyone came over and started talking because the tournaments were done. And we went to like an hour because neither of our decks could win.
Gotcha.
Because he has between his stall and my cancel. And then finally he's like, can I Princess Plans to get... He played his Viper twice. To show you how sloppy this game was, he played his Viper, double duped him, put a bunch of attachments on him, and marched him to the wall. I cycled back around. He Princess Plans it all back. He then laid out the Viper, triple duped him, laid a bunch of attachments. I killed off the other two characters next to him. And then he's looking at his plots. I'm like, you know what I'm going to drop? And he's like, huh? He's like, oh yeah, dang it. And I did it again. And so he played the Prince's Plan. So I was like, and I had the hand's judgment. I'm like, screw it. I'm like, I just want this game to be over. So I ended that and then went and had beers with Brian Bleers, which is normally the highlight
beers
of the Chicago. Yeah. The highlight of the tournament itself every year is drinking and playing a pickup game. So I was like, I'm going to go have some fun now. But it just left such a sour taste in my mouth. I just wasn't the same all day. And looking back, I regret that, and you can't let stupid stuff like that eat away at you. So mental fortitude is important if you're going to be playing 5-6 rounds of Swiss.
Very true.
And count your opponent's power tokens. I mean, the game's getting to a point, I'd never met this guy before, and I don't think it was intentional or malicious, but, I mean, as this game grows, like, those kind of players will start showing up. You'll see guys from Magic come over, see some people that are just a little... There's ambitious, and then there's cutthroat, and then there's something not good for the game. And those kind of people will start to infiltrate. But it's just something to be aware of. And, I mean, I'm the laxest guy you'll ever meet. I do not cut my opponent's deck. I just don't do it. I don't know why.
Slacker.
I just don't. And there's a lot of honor system going on when you play me. And I think something I'm going to get away from. And not that this guy taught me that, per se, or that I think, like I said, I don't think it's intentional, but it was a little bit of a wake-up call that if you're going to take it seriously and elevate your game to that kind of level, you have to, you know, keep all the screws really tight and don't take anything for granted. Even the little details like that that you can safely assume 9 times out of 10. But there were some cool decks there, I will say that. Great turnout for a meta that's really young, had a big resurgence lately. Like I succeed, potted by Tommy, who I know listens. Rockface all through Swiss, 5-0, shut down games. Only loss was against eventual winner playing Stark No Agenda, and he just got it. I mean, I was sitting next to him when he was playing, and he just had got all the answers right when it needed it, the right mirrors, the right. I mean, just seemed to always just draw the answer. I was like, this is unreal. But we're seeing it do well again was a nice sign that we were moving in the right step. Some weird things made top cut. I think a Lannister Hollow Hill made it. A couple other oddball decks. So it was good to see. It was a much healthier meta. I expected a ton of Greyjoy and a ton of Martell, and there really wasn't a ton of either. I mean, there was healthily represented, but it wasn't dominating the field like I thought it would. So I was real happy with it. A positive sign, and hopefully more things should be coming out of the Windy City soon.
Really happy to see that meta growing, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice, it used to be such a powerhouse back in the CCG days, and it's nice to kind of, it's in a great location, they can host really large tournaments, so it growing would be good for the community. If you would like to hear about the details of my deck, John Bruno has a really great write-up from his win at KublaCon over at Agot Cards, and you can just read it and assume four cards are different.
Hey, you could also steal his Stark No Agenda deck while you're at it.
There you go, Kyle. You need a deck for the next regional this weekend.
Maybe. Ugh, I feel so dirty running Stark. I never have any luck with that. Anytime I'm like, these white cards look so pretty. Nope. They scorn me. So hard.
All right. On to New York.
Yes, sir.
In New York, I played Bloodthirst, but I didn't go the normal route. I played in Attachment King Viserys Bloodthirst with Rivers, Viper to get like 6 or 7 powers, and then just drop a ton of attachments on Viserys. Rivers got me enough draw to get all the cards. King's Pavilion protected him from burn. Nightmares for other kings. And Bola, Brown, and Locked Away, which are fantastic on Viserys, but if you're facing Rush or any annoying characters, you drop a Bola, Brown, or lock them away, and then they stop being problems. Really, really fun deck.
Nice. That's really original.
Yeah. It was kicking around. I talked to Alex Trigg, the Bloodthirst Godfather, often about his Bloodthirst deck, and he mentioned it, and then John had something along those lines, and then we just put it together and just mess with it. It's a really, really strong deck. I don't want to go game by game. I finished 4-2. I lost to Martathian Rush, like we talked about earlier, but I shouldn't have, super annoyingly. I get Arianne turn 1. Like, I flip it. I'm not planning on clearing the board yet. I know he's going to art next turn, and I'm just going to get Arianne back. He has a he calls it thinking, alright, fuck it. He kills Arianne. I use the River plot to get her back next turn to try it again. I've drawn a million cards. I've more or less slowed down his power grab. So Art of Seduction on my River to get Arianne back. I get Arianne back. I put her into Shadows. I flip her. He floods the board, whatever. I flip her. He calls it thinking. I have a he calls it thinking. He has his third he calls it thinking. Bye, Arianne.
Wow, that's insane.
Live by the sword, die by the sword, man.
On turn 2.
So, hey, man, I don't want to fucking hear it, dude. I had Sandy freaking triplicate the Laughing Storm and Fat Bob a few years back. Turn 1. Fuck that guy.
Jesus Christ. We just need to say fuck that
sorry
guy.
Sorry to shit on your pity party here, but
well, no, no. I've got a Daryl's Dirty Dozen. So I'm 2-1 at that point. So, not that. So I'm playing Kyle S., and he's playing a Martell deck. He doesn't really care about the tournament, to be perfectly honest.
He's known as Shitty Kyle in these parts.
He is so not Shitty Kyle. He's always Awesome Kyle.
We're talking about Szyszynski?
Szyszynski.
Yeah, Kyle number 2. I have a draft cube victory in a bar in Minnesota to prove that I am Kyle number 1.
So keep messing with New York. We're going to jump you.
Uh-oh.
We will just
Can one of you be anal Kyle and the other one can be non-anal Kyle?
Non-vaginal
Kyle.
I will tell you right now that Kyle S. would volunteer to be anal Kyle.
We want the people to decide. We'll have a poll up on Facebook.
Yeah, you guys have to vote on this. All right.
It'll be great.
So I get...
take away our polls. Okay, go ahead.
I get Viper out, and Viper's rolling. So I get a bodyguard on him. I kill the bodyguard. Viper's got like 6 or 7 power on him. I've got Viserys in hand. I figure I can get a couple more power on Viper without risking Viserys. So I play Viper. I think I have another bodyguard in hand. So I played a knighted on the Viper instead of a bodyguard.
Oh my god.
I got military challenge and I discarded knighted, and Kyle went, no. So I turned, I punched JC in the arm, JC Wham in the arm.
Ouch.
And then I realized I had a Doran's favor on Viper because I'm anal and like having backup plans in case that was canceled or something. So I Doran's favored and read Vengeance. I still had to discard Viper, but it was a 2-point plot, so it like cleared off half his board. And I was still able to pull off the win. But it was the single worst tournament play I've ever made.
Hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, that was sort of a Daryl's Dirty Dozen. I mean, you didn't... Normally, with the Daryl's Dirty Dozen, you're supposed to lose or something. Like, stop ruining my good name.
Sorry, backup plans. The Doran's favor was the last thing I stuck on. I was like, your turn. You know what? No, wait. I'm going to throw Doran's favor on there. Just better safe than sorry. Because it was a dry season turn, so all my influence was blank.
That takes some real tits.
pure luck, honestly.
There you go.
So I beat another Bloodthirst, and I sat down at the table. The guy was like, oh, this is going to be a long game for you. I was like, I don't think so. I beat normal Bloodthirst pretty easily. So I rolled that. But then Seth Lowe from DC, who's really super nice guy, I got Ari on turn 1 and 2. It didn't matter. I drew into one location that he froze. He was playing Stark, Stark Harrenhal Winter. So he Frozen Solids my one location. Ariane does functionally nothing at this point because I have no gold and it's winter. River's gold sucks. And, yeah, he rolled me. He rolled by Decreed turn 2. Turn 3, he just wrecked me. And that was essentially the play-in for the cut. 4 and 2, no cut.
Well, I know how 4 and 2, no cut feels.
We should have had that before.
Yeah. But you've, that's a pretty sweet deck, man. That sounds super fun.
I wanted to send it to you, and I was like, dude, let me know. I'll send you a surprise deck. You'll love it.
Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah. It's right up Brett's alley, too.
It runs two Crossroads.
Yes! Oh, well, it's right up my alley.
Man, now if you could just fit a couple captured cogs in that bad boy, really be cooking.
You know, not a terrible idea. Win some dominance. Why not?
Win some dominance, have some plus 2 initiative, have a warship for some reason. Floodwaters, duh.
At that point, you can run the, not even just the warship that turns into a character, too.
Yeah, why not?
There you go.
Bloodthirst.
And cheat them all into play with Supported by the Smith.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, now we just improved your deck. And let's not take any cards out, let's just add those in. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it's only at 66.
See?
There you go. You can go up to at least 75.
No, that would make it 66. It's already 63 or 64.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm running some out of stuff. I'm running a Lanny Iron Throne just because people canceling Ariane pisses me off.
Yeah.
Reasonable.
No, that's a good idea. Wait a sec. Oh. I'm trying to think who would cancel Ariane that you would cancel with the...
Iron Throne. If you're the only character running the player running the Iron Throne.
Right. I see what you're saying. Ah. Oh. Clever.
Or Alanis Greyjoy.
Clever girl.
Clever girl, yeah. Is it secret? Is it safe?
You're welcome.
Yeah. Totally been stuck in my head. Sorry. Oh, that was one of those inside jokes people get pissed about. I am sorry. It was the Lord of the Rings reference.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's only a little bit inside.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen the Lord of the Rings films, then you've definitely heard, is it secret? Is it safe?
Why? There better be, like, an event or something in the Lord of the Rings card game that is that. That'd be awesome.
I don't think there is right now, but there should be.
Lucas Litzinger. Oh, wait. I don't think he's working on that anymore.
No, he's not anymore.
You guys better win Lord of the Rings Worlds.
Yep, I guess it's time to quit this game and go to that one.
You know, the bummer is I don't think they have any sort of Worlds type event where players can earn the right to design a card. And I think that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
So we could always kidnap Nate, like that movie with Karl Malone from the 90s.
Or we could do it like Taken. We can call Christian Peterson and be like, we have your design. I don't know.
Wow.
Maybe not.
Did you just equate Christian Peterson to, what's
Liam
his
Neeson?
Name?
Yes.
Liam Neeson?
I mean,
that's terrifying.
I've never seen Christian Peterson and Liam Neeson in the same place at the same time, so.
You know, good point.
I also don't think they call him. Doesn't he call the bad guys? And the movie's about the bad guys being their asses kicked. How do we want to be the bad guys in Taken?
You know, I don't know. It was good.
I didn't think
idea.
That far ahead, damn it. Anyways.
All right. So
thanks for the tourney report.
Wait, last thing.
Nope, there's no time. We're done.
Damn it.
There's not enough time, man.
If you're running new Daenerys, look at Tourney Lances and Rusted Sword. On Viper, on Daenerys, Tourney Lances and Rusted Sword are both completely nasty.
Oh, yeah. I've been wanting to make Tourney Lance work for a while. I mean, it replaces itself after you play it. Like, that could be some tight shit.
Great card, especially with Marinee's Fighting Pit.
Oh, yeah. And she's already at that 4-cost strength point, which makes it pretty hard to win a joust against her.
Yep.
Richland's in a keep. Maybe to give her that Noble Crest? I'm the only one that cares about that, huh?
I think I'm more about
Danny loves it. You and Danny can talk about how underplayed Richlands and Akeep is together at Missouri.
Man, I'll be playing that shit.
There's not a Targ or Lani deck I built where she doesn't bug me about Richlands and Akeep.
I mean, with what's-his-nuts coming? Ares coming, and then you run... Danny's Chambers, and now you're killing shit, and recurring shit, and killing more shit.
I don't know, I'm more about to be a dragon. Love to be a dragon right now.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah?
Alright, Will, what's your painted table, brah?
Well, let's see, haven't done too much really new lately. I dusted back off the Maesters Behind the Throne, threw in a couple copies of Counterplot, and tweaked a few things, and played it over the weekend. Of course, I played it early on in the evening when Mark was the only other Thrones player there, and he was testing out that LIV2, and... yeah, that is a kind of an awkward matchup there, because I can't keep any of the good rush characters like the Conclave or Cersei, who actually I never drew in 3 games, never saw her at all. But, you know, Cersei or even Littlefinger or something, I can't keep them on the board against him. But on the flip side, that deck is so, like, resource-heavy, and the plots are all fairly high initiative with these passive effects and whatnot, that, like, he can't get the choke on me, he can't hit me with his Search and Detain. So it was a very weird matchup for both of us, the way it played out. Grindier than you would expect it to be. And then I dug out the Martell Maesters I've been tinkering with, stripped out that kind of small Shadows theme I'd been messing with. I wanted Aerys Oakheart, the Kingsguard version to work with the Maesters, and was just never really feeling it. So I dropped in a third Desert Raider and pulled You Murdered Her Children. Now that Desert Raider is the only prized card in that deck, I'm not really worried much at all about giving that power away 3 or 4 times in a game to take icons, and those guys are awesome on your end and very frustrating on the opponent's end to keep coming back.
Hmm.
So, that's my thing.
No. Okay, then. Well, I guess I'll just talk about what I have.
Yeah, go for it, dude.
So... I haven't been able to play for the past week because I had to work. I also work at our game store every now and then whenever they need me. So they needed me. But I did build up an Old Way deck that I'm really itching to try that plays some newer stuff. So Great Wick came out. Obviously, I was going to put that in. But I also put in a copy of Tower of Joy. And I really want to play with that. That seems really fun. I mean, is it a good card? Eh, probably not. But it sure could be fun. So, but that was really it. There's a lot. It's kind of a character light-ish version. There's not nearly as many characters, I think, that are in most Old Way builds. And so there's a lot more warship-centric things. And I'm trying to figure this out. I was thinking about this, and I didn't put it in my deck because I wasn't sure if it would work. But First Mate says, take a warship. Is it a warship location in your hand and put it into play after you win an unopposed challenge with him?
Hand or right? discard after right. you win with him. Power okay. or military only, I think his ability says.
So,
does it say that on the ability?
I can't remember. I mean, we can pull just because there was this First Mate. Because there was this little combo that kind of ran through my head that I wanted to put in, but I was like, eh, I'm not sure if it'll work. And I was hoping to get a game in that night, but it was just a little too busy for me to play. But I was like, I'm not going to put it in if I don't think it works.
I have First Mate, by the way. After you win a military power challenge with First Mate is participating, put a warship location from your hand or discard pile into play. Limit one limited response per round.
Okay.
Let me guess, Daryl. You were going to put Longship Ironwind into play so that you could then kneel it to put another character into play.
I mean, I would if that card was out. That sounds awesome. But what I was thinking about doing is winning an unopposed challenge of the variety that I need to with First Mate, and obviously he's going to strength, but still, right. So then, and like the deck runs a lot of naval escorts, like we can pump things up. But what I was thinking is, I also put Set Sail in there. If I win the challenge, I set sail. Can I search for that location, then trigger First Mate to put that in play?
Yeah, sure can.
Okay, well, I might be working that. That guy into my deck then, because I wasn't sure if that would work. I mean, right now there's only like one copy of Set Sail, just because I was like, think of it as a fourth Maiden's Bane type thing.
You can trigger your responses in any order you want, dude.
All right, I was just making sure. I just wasn't sure that night, so I was like, forget it. But I'm kind of excited about it. It's a little bit different than the Old Way decks out there, and it's probably worse because it's not playing rivers. We'll just call it what it is. But I haven't gotten to play that yet, but I want to. And I won't be able to play this week because everyone will be in Tulsa. So, oh well.
Not quite everybody. Caleb's not going, so if he comes down to the store to play, you can play against him.
Well, maybe I'll hit him up, see what he's doing.
Yeah. Props and slops.
Flop and prop.
All right. Well, I want to go ahead and start out with some props here. I know Kyle will be on his way to the Iowa regional right now by the time you're listening to this. He won't be on his way, really, since it's in his state, I assume. But other players will be headed to his regional, is how I should say that. And it looks like it's going to be an awesome event. If you are listening to this and you still have any time to make it, you should go. But also, if you're listening to this, you probably have more time to make it to the Springfield, Missouri Regional on July 5th. And you should definitely make it out there. It's going to be an awesome event. We're calling it the Pyromancer's Cache in honor of 4th of July weekend, which is when we're having it. I think people are just kind of hanging out at Greg's, doing some pickup games. We may bust out some CCG-era cubes to draft on the 4th itself. Saturday, we'll have the main event. And Sunday, we're going to draft at Metagames with the draft packs. And so, think it's going to be awesome. We've got some sweet prizes that were donated. I'm working on getting a few extra special little prizes of my own set for the event. And, of course, you know, as far as regionals go, we may not be the largest one, but I think you're going to be hard-pressed to find a more competitive one, considering the fact that both Greg Atkinson and John Bruno will be playing in our event. And,
God, it's our nightmare.
Yeah.
Don't tell them what you're playing.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely not going to.
I can still win this. It's all right.
Oh, man, if I won that.
Will can't, but it's, yeah. I mean, I feel all right.
Oh, and also I should say, Team Covenant has mentioned that they're coming up to do their coverage on our Top 8 games.
Crap.
Much like they regularly do. So I think that'll definitely be a nice addition. And when the finals turn out to be Greg versus Bruno, that's going to be a great game for people to watch.
Yeah. You should definitely
my glorious
think about
upset
coming.
Will also make it. Let's not forget that.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
You should definitely come. It's going to be really fun.
You mean when Sandy beats all you guys?
No. Yeah. And you'll be too drunk to do well.
Sandy Barnabas is coming, so afterward we'll hit the bar, our usual spot, and then shit's going to get real.
Yeah, we're going to get ultra drunk.
Maybe Daryl will be able to keep up.
Oh, God, who knows? I don't know. I don't drink like I used to, man.
So start.
I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely going to have, you know, I'm definitely going to get white girl wasted. So, it's going to happen.
I'm sure I'll get to the point where it's embarrassing and I say racist things to Daryl.
You probably will. It'll probably get a little awkward like it does every time. But that's so all right. Bad. I still love you.
People tell me what I say the next day. So bad.
Oh, God, I know. but seriously, if you're thinking about coming, seriously, email us or let us know. If you need somewhere to crash, we can figure it out. I don't know.
We'll
I'm pretty
out.
Sure.
Hopefully I'll have my own place by then.
Yeah, I'm Even pretty sure Greg's place is filled up. I'm not positive, but let us know. There's also a hotel like right next to his house, like literally walking distance.
Yep.
It is crazy. So it's going to be a super, super fun couple of days. So you will not be disappointed in the least. Not to mention you get to hang out with me. And I can give you the gift that keeps on giving. A child's laughter.
Oh. Are you claiming to impregnate our listeners?
Yes. I mean, yes, sir, he is.
I will do what it takes to get you to come out here. So if you need me to be a donor for your baby daddy, or you need me to be your baby daddy, rather, we can arrange that.
Wow.
That got weird. That got really weird.
A little bit.
Hmm. Nobody tell Robin that I said that.
Yeah, you're going to regret that.
Yeah. I do. I am propping Dexter. If you haven't watched that show, you need to. We finished it. We watched it all. I finished it today, and I'm not going to spoil anything, so I really can't say how I feel. If you have seen it, let me know. Hey, heck, whenever you come to the regional, let's talk about it, because I can talk about it all day. This is a really awesome show, so, yeah.
I want to prop the Taco Bell quesadito. That's a quesadilla wrapping a burrito, and go get it now, because I shouldn't have to say anything else about it.
Quesarito.
Guess I'll have to try that.
Yeah, immediately. Like, you should be leaving the podcast to go get one now.
I hear they're good.
Are they really? There's a Taco Bell right down the street.
I mean, it's like a burrito with extra cheese. What is not to like?
I can't. I can't.
Quesadilla, like, there's quesadilla sauce.
Mm.
That is good stuff.
I'm
trying to watch my girlish figure here.
Take two of the nuggets. And put them back. That's a Tenacious D reference for anybody.
I'm there with you, Will.
Okay.
Tenacious Daryl.
Tenacious
That's right.
Daryl. Not only is he childish Gambino, he's also Tenacious Daryl.
The childish Gambino thing was cut. It's
thank
just confusing.
God.
Oh, curses.
Did you cut me talking about Bruno's dick pics?
I don't think so.
Maybe? I don't really remember now.
Okay.
Guys, can you let us know in the comments where Bruno's dick pics on the episode? Ever?
Let us know. I mentioned these. I would have thought that Bruno would have messaged me or something.
Horse and paper dick pics.
Did I say message? I meant massage.
It's French. It's not weird.
Slops to that.
This is so fucked up.
That was the last time you ever heard from 2C1C.
So moving on.
Any more props to what? Or slops?
I was like, where are we going?
Well, I've got another prop then. I finished up watching Orphan Black on Amazon TV.
I need to do that.
Or not Amazon TV, but on the Amazon Prime streaming app on my Xbox Live anyway. But it was pretty awesome. I really enjoyed how it ended. It was a nice kind of cliffhanger, pretty shocking. The show all the way through has done, I think, what great sci-fi really does and explore like modern-day social issues in a setting that makes it seem distant enough to not be offensive, I think, for most people anyway. But, you know, it's still there for you to catch and pick up on. It was a wild ride. And now I've moved on, and I'm continuing to browse around on what Amazon Prime has to offer at the moment. And since they got that deal with HBO, which is pretty phenomenal, I decided I'd start watching back seasons of some of those shows. So I started in on Carnival. I'm a sucker for period pieces, and then when you throw in the whole magic and miracles and apocalyptic overtones, it gets pretty badass.
I want to slop Orange is the New Black.
Really? Normally I hear nothing but good things.
I've only seen the first season, but A, Piper is the most unlikable character. Piper is the protagonist.
Okay.
The most unlikable character I've ever seen, like in anything. I can't stand her. She's like the most generic, super waspy white girl in the world, and I hate her. And next, like, for a prison show, it's awfully comedic, which, you know,
isn't that nice. The point?
Well, they go on and on about how this is, like, supposed to be hard-hitting and examining, like, prison, and
really?
It's kind of a bunch of jokes.
I always thought it was supposed to be a comedy. Maybe I'm confused since I've never watched it.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Huh. Weird.
Yeah. Anybody else?
All right. Well, thank you for listening to another fine episode of Two Champs and a Chump. If you have any ideas for the show or anything like that, feel free to email us at twochampsonechump@gmail.com. Like our Facebook page, we are up to like 531 likes or something like that.
532. I was just looking.
Woot woot. That's awesome. So tell everyone to like us. Well, I like our Facebook page at least. Also, so you can follow us on Twitter at twochampsonechump@twitter.com. We still tweet. We'll tweet it up with you if you want to tweet. Or you can feel free to message us at facebook.com/twochampsonechump. So thanks everybody, and I will see you in the Will, where are we going again?
Let me think. Could that have been to the
Danger Zone?
The ghost who never goes.